Holy God, we thank you for your word that sings to us from the past, calling us to be mindful of our choices, calling us to be faithful to you. May we hear it, may we hear the truth that you have for us, each of us as individuals in it. And may we have the will to follow it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. J.K. Johnson, in Why Christians Sin, wrote, "A tale is told about a small town that had historically been dry. But then a local businessman decided to build a tavern. A group of Christians from the local church were concerned and planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly thereafter, lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. The owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, stated that no matter how the case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer and the Christians do not. Let's admit it. None of us likes to take the blame for something negative that we may have contributed to. Otherwise, we would not have such phrases such as, it takes a big person to admit they were wrong. And you know, this is not a new phenomenon. This has been going on for quite a while. In fact, you can find it in the very second chapter of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Adam blamed Eve for making him eat the apple. And in this story, which was written to the get at the roots of sin, it simply says people sin and will not accept responsibility for their sin. In our story from 1 Samuel, the people come to Samuel and say, "We want a king. Your sons aren't as good as you. We don't like them. They're not good people. So we want you to make a king for us so that we'll be like all the other nations." And Samuel says, "God, we got a problem here." And God says, No, you don't have a problem. It's the people. They've rejected me, not you." God says, "Listen to them. But before they make the decision, you tell them what it's going to cost them." And Samuel makes it very clear to the people what they are asking for. As Paul Harvey would say, he gives the rest of the story. They will have to pay taxes, grow food for the king, send their men off to fight the king's wars, and on. The people, after hearing that, still want a king. In fact, he knows that emphatic. No, we want a king. They still want someone to govern over them and go fight their battles for them. Now, if they said that, you wonder, they really didn't listen to Samuel, did they? Because Samuel said, "No, it's not going to be the king. It's going to be you guys that are fighting the king's battles." Although I do admit back in that time and for many centuries after that, that the kings did ride in the battles. But one wonders, though, if they heard Samuel at all. I doubt that they did. While they were thinking of battles in terms of wars, I think also they had this sense that the king could be made the scapegoat of all. In other words, when there were problems, other problems and everything, the people could say, it's the king's fault, and not their fault. So thus the people could blame the king when they decided not to accept responsibility for their own actions. It's our responsibility to fight our own battles in life, to be responsible for them. However, we've made it an art to hide in the shadows. We've had a lot of time, centuries, to work on this, to let someone else take the blame. And I find it so interesting. Sometimes it's very hard for us to let go of those old ways of passing blame. If you listen to many politicians today who get caught saying something or doing something that somebody, then the media or somebody jumps on them for, they say, no, I didn't say that, or I didn't do that, or it was taken out of context. All to push the blame onto the media or somebody else. But you know what's amazing? These politicians and others like them have not caught up to modern technology because everything is recorded today. So they said, I didn't say that. Oh, somebody pulls out their cell phone and says, oh, yes, you did. We get upset. And we blame the restaurant when the coffee we're drinking in the car spills in our lap and burns us. We want half coffee. It's our responsibility to take care of it after it's been poured and given to us. And I'm mindful that somebody's probably smiling back there because a while back I was having coffee with the rescue squad and Evelyn and Israel were there. I had a big cup of hot coffee and I reached and knocked it all over Evelyn. So I'm sorry, Evelyn. But we have to be responsible for the fact that we're the ones that spilled the coffee, not the people who made it hot in the first place because we want hot coffee. In our litigation-happy society, rather than take responsibility for our own miscues, we see them as opportunities to pass the blame onto someone else and make some money in the deal. I think we've made accepting not responsibility, not accepting responsibility a paid profession. It's a way to get money. In our gospel reading from Mark, we hear Jesus declaring his allegiance not to his biological family, but to God and to those who are listening to him. Jesus was responsible for what he heard from God, even if it made him seem really weird to his family and others. And we are responsible for what we hear from Jesus. The people talking to Samuel were told of God's wishes, but they decided to seek life security elsewhere. They pulled away from God. And as disciples of Jesus, we are responsible for what we've heard from Jesus. Or else, if we don't, then we pull away from Jesus. We have a crisis of responsibility. It's a crisis that's been going on for ages. But it is also a faith issue. If we believe that God, Jesus, and the Spirit are where we need to put our trust, then we have to place our trust there and keep it there. We can't do it. And then when we decide not to follow it, blame somebody else, or blame God or Jesus by saying, no, it's too hard, I can't do that. Well, excuse me, but we said that's the one we're going to trust. Socrates said, we are responsible to search out the truth and to live by that truth. Andy Stanley, in a sermon entitled, Let the Blames Begin, writes, I used to do a lot of marriage counseling. And often, one spouse would come into the office and start ranting and raving. My husband does this. My wife will never do this. And it would go on and on. And I would sit there thinking, the counseling, is it going to be very effective because the person who apparently needs to change isn't even in the room? So I would get out a pad of paper, draw a circle on it, and say, this is a pie that represents all the chaos in your marriage. Now, 100% of the blame is in that pie, because that's where all the chaos is. I will give them a pen and say, I want you to draw a slice of the pie that you think represents your responsibility for the chaos. The piece of the pie that the client would draw was never very big. But I would say, okay, So why don't you and I just talk about this? Let's talk about this piece that is your responsibility. Let's talk about your slice. And you know what? My approach never worked. I could never get anybody to stay on his or her slice of the pie. They were always going over to the other slice. We are responsible for our own message, for our part in it. It does not help to clean up the mess or ourselves to deny that accountability. It does not help clean up the mess or ourselves to deny that accountability. We are responsible for what we believe about God, and it does not help to deny it when we are asked to do things that we don't want to do. It's true that responsibility sometimes puts us in tight corners or uncomfortable situations. But you know, we're still accountable. We're still responsible. We have to do it for ourselves. We have to do it for God. Are we believers?